This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing? Good. It's good to see everybody. Good to have you here. If you have the message notes on the app, pull it out. You might want to take notes. If you have your Bible, Proverbs chapter 3, go ahead and get ready there. We're diving into the second week of our series. They were calling back to school. And it is back to school time. How many of you guys are going back to school tomorrow, either as an employee or as a student? Raise your hand, okay? All right, a bunch of you are going back. So in my house, I'm the only one in our direct family that's not going back to school tomorrow. Stacy starts work tomorrow at school, Old Town Elementary. Our older son, Ethan, has moved back in with us. He is going to Wake Forest Law School tomorrow. And Micah goes back to school tomorrow for SciTech. He's actually at App State today touring that school for where he can transfer next year. So tomorrow, I'm going to sleep in and wave goodbye, everybody. And I won't have to go back to school. I had enough school in my life, I think I'm good. But you know, we never really graduate, right? Even if you're not going to school formally, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are in school. You are constantly being taught because Jesus is a teacher. And we are students, we are disciples, we're constantly learning from him. And the number one way we learn from him is through his word. I was looking back, kind of thinking about my school career. Did it really prepare me for life? In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. There's a lot of things they did not teach me. So I went online and did the whole thing, like what they should teach you in school. Have you ever done this before? I found like websites with 157 things they should have taught us in school. I saw some with 10, some with 20. I thought, I don't have time to do all that. So I picked my top five, okay? So here's five things not taught in school that I think they should be teaching. Number one is personal finance. I know they teach that. I know they teach you how to do a budget and all that stuff, but not enough for me. I learned how to do a checkbook in sixth grade. What do I know about money in sixth grade? I need it now, right? But not just how to do personal finance, how to get a mortgage. You know, how do you fill out the paperwork? I needed a class in just filling out the mortgage paperwork. And then what's the difference between variable interest, fixed loans, those kinds of things? What is the best thing to do? Is this house actually worth buying or not? They should have people like teaching you that as you do it. They should have people teaching you about healthcare, right? I mean, that never was before. They offered it to you. Now you got to find your own thing. And it's like they're asking you plan A, plan B, plan C. And go, I don't know. Somebody tell me what to do. I needed help with that. And then taxes. Like when I was younger, when Stacy and I were younger, it was the easy form. This is easy. Now, I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, I'm both employed and self-employed. Tell me how that works. I pay somebody every year to figure out my taxes and relieve my stress. But they need to be teaching personal finances so we can do these things, right? I think it's the number one thing they should do, maybe in school. Second thing I think they should be teaching a little bit differently is problem-solving skills. Like when I was in math, they taught me if train A is going this direction at so-and-so speed, and train B is going so-and-so speed, and they're going to meet, when do they meet? It's like, I'm never going to be there. What do I need to know? This is what I want to know. We had this conversation last night. If you have five people coming to dinner and you go to Sam's Club, how many roasted chickens do you need to buy, right? And if you buy two, right, will you have enough leftovers so that you can make chicken salad during the week? And then how long does a chicken salad last before you have to throw it away in the garbage? They should teach that in school, right? They should be shown. That's practical stuff. How about this for you parents or grandparents who do carpool? It's 2:30. Your first child has to be picked up at 2:40, and they got swim practice across town. Your other child has to go to the doctor, right? Child B has to go to the doctor. You got to get them there. Child C calls you and says, can I go to a friend's house to do a project together? And then your friend who helps you with carpool calls and says, look, my child just threw up in the car. I can't help, right? And you get in the car, you start it up, engine light comes on, and you got 5 minutes to make a decision. What do you do? What do you do, right? Now, you moms, you dads, you grandparents, you've had to solve these problems, right? What are real-world problems? They should be teaching you this. People should walk into a class and go, this is my problem. And the students go, we're going to help you solve it right now so they can learn these things, the problem-solving skills. Number three, on a serious note, I think they should be teaching more and more about mental health issues, and I know they are. But, right, anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, how do you deal with those? How do you recognize those in yourself? How do you recognize it in your friends? What do you say to your friends and to your children and the people in the community? What do you say to them to help them with these issues? What resources do we offer so they can go without feeling like they're under the spotlight? We need to be teaching these things because that's what our world is about today. Number four, I think we should be teaching networking skills. How do you get a job today? It's who you know, right? No one ever taught me how to network. I thought you just filled out an application, turn it in. That's not how it works, right? Networking skills, not only that, but how do you find the right doctor? Have you ever moved to a place and that's your first thing, I got to find the right doctor, and go, how do you know? They hand you a book or you look at a website and you look at the pictures, don't you? You look at the pictures, you read the bio, go, that looks like a nice person. I think I'll go to them. I got dropped by my doctor. I didn't go enough. I didn't know that was a thing. So I went back to the doctor and they go, you can't go to this doctor anymore. You didn't come enough. It's like, well, how often is enough, right? So I needed networking people. So I need to talk to them. How do we do that? How do you find the right mechanic to fix your car? Because next to the doctor, you want to trust your mechanic, right? I don't want to get ripped off. And you need a network to help you with those things and figure it out. Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book called Tipping Point. He talked about two kinds of people. One is a collector and a connector, okay? Same thing, connector, collector. What they do is collect people in a nice way. They know everybody. How many guys know a person that knows everybody? Anybody? Okay, if you go to Bridges, there's a couple people here that know everybody, all right? They're the ones that will tell you, go to this doctor, don't go to that one, go to this doctor. They'll tell you where to take your car, and they just know everybody. They know the person downtown and in the offices there, the city offices. They'll tell you what person to go to and skip everybody else because that person gets things done. You need a connector in your life. And then you need a maven. Have you ever heard that phrase before, a maven? You know a maven, I know. Here's what a maven is. They collect information. They're the person you go to when you want to know what phone should I get, right? Because they've already researched it. They've done everything. You skip all that stuff and you just go ask them, what phone should I get? And they'll tell you. When the phone doesn't work, you call them and they'll tell you how to do it because they've done all that research. They'll tell you where to go to get to the best restaurant. They know these things. They're early adopters. We have one in our family, too. Call that person. You need to call the person that will tell you, go to the hospital or go to urgent care, right? That's a maven. They know those things. So networking is huge. If you ever had to get a job, ever hired a person to do work for you, you need those people in your life. And number five, I think I should be teaching this in every school every year, is how to live a well-lived life. How to live a well-lived life. We learn the details, right? But how do you live a well-lived life? Because you get one shot at this, right? How do you live a well-lived life? Like, what does that mean for your relationships? How can you have good, healthy relationships? How do you make really good decisions in life? Because people don't. We all make those decisions that aren't right. How do you fail correctly? Because you're going to fail. People fail all the time. But how do you get back up? How do you keep going? How do you learn from that? How do you change your life from that direction? That's how to live a well-lived life. So these are some things I think we should learn in school, but because we don't learn them all, how about if we do it in church? Not all at the same time, but what if we go back to God's word and go, God, what do you want us to learn about how to live a well-lived life? Proverbs chapter 3 has a ton of stuff written 3,000 years ago. God is using that to teach us, and that's where we're going today. Last week we did verses 1 and 2, and that was about taking God's word and put it in your heart. And this week through our app, we sent you a verse a day and asked you to kind of just reflect on that, put it in your heart, be encouraged. So I hope that you got a chance to do that. Today we're going to look at chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, and just do a deep dive on that. So if you have your Bibles, turn there. I'm using the ESV version. You might use something different, which is helpful, especially in this passage, because you're going to see it's translated several different ways, and I'll tell you why today. Two verses, that's all we're going to do. It says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And it tells you why. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. This whole chapter is just, here's some things to do to live a well-lived life and start here. Now, when you look at Proverbs, you'll see that it's poetry. Doesn't rhyme in English, doesn't have rhythm like we do, but it is formed as poetry. And you know that because in this one they have four pairs, okay? There's four sets of two that they kind of use a poetic device. Let me show you those four sets. You just read them, but here they are. There's four pairs. Here's the first one, steadfast love and faithfulness. That's what it's going to talk about. And these are key ideas for life and for following Jesus. We're going to talk about that. Then it tells us what to do with those two things. He said, put them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. So it's kind of a parallel. Take these two things and do these two things with them. And then he wants you to know what's going to happen. There's two things that are going to happen. You're going to find favor and success. We're going to talk about what that looks like. And not only are you going to find favor and success, you're going to find it with God and man for life. Because that's your two most best relationships, most important ones, right? Your relationship with God and your relationship with the people around you. And when we look at these two words and the two things to do with those two words and what those two things produce in our life and who they affect, if you do it right, you will have a well-lived life and you will change the lives of the people around you and you'll change your own life. So let's kind of dive into that. Let's kind of break this apart and figure out what the verses are about. Let's start with the very first word that it really dives into. And that word is a Hebrew word that you need to know. And we're going to practice this word. It's the word hesed, okay? So get that fur ball ready. And this is a thing in Hebrew. You got to get the fur ball ready. You'll see it sometimes spelled H and sometimes CH, but it's the hesed, okay? So you can cough it and do it too. But don't cough on somebody else if you're sick, okay? So we're still practicing those things. So I'm going to say it again, then you're going to say it back to me. So hesed. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Hesed. All right? It's a rich Hebrew word. There's no real way to translate it into English. There's no one word that you can translate it. So here's some words that you will see. The Jews, if you're looking at a Jewish Bible today, they will translate it loving kindness. King James, loving kindness. Two words put together to kind of explain this one word, hesed. Loving kindness is this is what I feel, and this is how I express how I feel. I love, I do because I love, and the things I do are kind things. And to the Jew, this is so important. To the Jewish people, this is so important, loving kindness. If you look at some translations, they'll put the word mercy. The one we looked at today had steadfast love. It's a love that continues on every day, day after day. It doesn't go away. Steadfast love. Compassion. Compassion is when you feel something, right? Especially someone that's hurting. And that's what hesed is about. Here's someone that needs to be loved because they're not being loved and they're not experiencing love. Loyalty. Loyalty in a relationship is huge, isn't it? You're just going to be loyal to the people you love. You're not going anywhere. Goodness. That puts it a higher plane, okay? This is when you're doing this word, you've kind of taken your life to a higher place. Now we're talking about a good person. Not just average, but a good person living a good life with great kindness. So you can't forget the word hesed. 241 times in the Old Testament, repeated over and over again about people and about God. And the Bible wants us to know, don't live life without this word in your life. The second word is the word faithfulness. It's a word, it looks like emeth, but you drop the H, emet. Emet. You don't have to repeat this one. It's not as important as the other one. It's only about 125 times in the Old Testament. Very, very important. And it means true. Like, I'll be true to you. I'll be true before you. I'll be true after you. I'll be true when you're around, when you're not around. I am there for you. I'm going to be faithful in your life, and I'm going to be stable. And if you think about when you started school when you were a kindergartner, wasn't this what you looked for in a friend? That person's going to be there when you got bullied, when you had a bad day, you just hung out with them, you ate dirt together, whatever you did in kindergarten, right? You did this with your best friend, and they were your best friend because they were kind to you. They didn't bully you, they didn't make fun of you, and they were there for you. That was probably our best friends when we were little, right? And here's the deal with these two words. Think about any relationship you have. Any relationship. Think about the opposite. There's been a lot of relationships killed by unkindness. Words, right? Constant tearing people down, critical words that will kill a relationship, whether it's a best friend, a marriage, you name it. Unkindness destroys. It destroys. Disloyalty destroys marriages, any kind of relationship. So we've seen that. We've seen fellowships and families where they tear each other down, and those are unhealthy. flip it, put kindness there, has said, put a meth there, I'm going to be there for you. I'm your friend. You need me? No one can stop me from getting there. That's what we're talking about. God said, these are the things I want in your life. They're so very, very important. He says they're so important, I want you to do two things with them. And he kind of describes those two things in verse 3. Let's go back and look at that. He says, let not steadfast love or hesed and faithfulness emet forsake you. In other words, don't leave them behind, but do two things with them. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Again, parallelism. Bind them around your neck. What does he mean? He says, I want you to put it out there where people can see it. This is the public view. Kindness is out there, right? There is acts that people can see. I'm going to move it out of my life and into your life. Kindness. And let it be like a necklace, something around your neck where people can see it. And so it's out in front of you so people notice it. In our culture, we might say instead of binding it around your neck, we might say get a tattoo, right? Get a tattoo so people can see it. And the thing I've noticed about tattoos is they draw attention, right? When you get a tattoo, don't people ask you why you got that tattoo? Whether it's a compass on your ankle or a cross on your wrist or a bunch of foreign words on your elbow and your forearm, whatever it may be, don't people ask you, what is that? What is that picture and why that picture? I've never met a tattoo person that would go, I don't want to talk about it, right? Though we did see somebody online last night, we don't know them, it had Helen Keller on the side, not Helen Keller, it was Anne Frank on the side of their face, and they thought it was somebody else. It's like, why would you do that on your face? But they get a lot of questions, like, why is that there? We put tattoos on it because we want to make a statement, right? This is who I am. This is what I'm about. This is important to me. Let me tell you about it. The Bible says, put it around your neck. Now, I've got a couple of things here, like, as an example, like, here's dog tags. I think I've combined these things. Here's dog tags that are simply the words emeth and the word hesed on them. And it's now attached. It's kind of a magic trick. I didn't know this was going to happen. It got attached to this other necklace too. So I'm just going to show you both at the same time. But I'm not going to wear it. These dog tags are just reminders of hesed, which means loving kindness, and emeth, which means faithfulness. And if you wear it around your neck every day, go, this is who I am. This is my identity. This is what I want to be about. And then I had Haley make this one. Haley Bowman, you know, is got in the back there for her Multiply project. She's making bracelets and she's making necklaces. And she did a great job with this. And on this one, she has put those four words. And they're embedded in it. So if anybody wants this today, after second service, you can pick this up and wear it around your neck and have this and say to the world, this is what I want to be about. This is what I want people to see in me. She also made another one that is ready to go as well. And if you want to make one on your own and have a different colors or something, I think she will do that for you. But the idea is we just wear this as a way of saying to ourselves and to everyone else, these are the things that are important to us. Kindness and faithfulness. They represent who I am and who I want to be. They're reminders when I want to say something to someone and it's not kind, I stop. And when I'm tired and there's an opportunity to be kind and I don't feel like doing it, I do it anyway because this represents me. This is who I want the world to see when they look at me. That's a kind person, a loving, kind person. And I'm a person who, if I tell you I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And if you need me to be there for you, I will be there for you. And this is what it represents, and this is what God is saying. He said, not only do I want you to put it around your neck and wear it for the world to see, I want you to write it on the tablet of your heart. Because here's the deal, we can act like anybody at any time, right? You ever notice that? You can put on a good face. I can do a kind thing, but I can't keep it consistent unless it's here in my heart. And God's saying, I want you to write these things in your heart. I want you to write hesed in your heart so that you think kindly about people. You think good thoughts about them. You say things about them that are kind when they're not around. You are faithful to them when you're other places and they're not there. And you are a person that they can count on. And that's why it's written on our heart, because it becomes our DNA, our spiritual DNA. God could have picked any number of words for us to put in our spiritual DNA, right? And 3,000 years ago, I want you to put these words in your DNA. Hesed and emeth. Be that way. Those things start as simple things, don't they? Have you ever noticed, like, simple kindness? What is simple kindness? We learned this in kindergarten. What do you say? Please and thank you and you're welcome. We're taught those. They're great things to learn. And if they're missing, do you ever want to correct somebody when they don't say it? Even an adult, yeah, I'll do it after you say please. You say please, I'll think about it. You don't say please, I'm not going to do it. That's the way my mom taught me. So I still think those things. And so we want to hear it from adults. Simple kindness. Hold the door for someone. You know, when I held the door in California for the first time for a woman, she got mad at me. She says, I don't need you to hold the door. I go, I'm just being kind. It's not because I don't think you can do it. I just was taught that. It's my culture. I'm sorry. I had to apologize for holding the door. And it was like, I still did it. I still hold doors for people. Help people with their groceries if you don't know them or need, you know, if they just need help. It's just simple, simple things. It's an email said, how's your day going? It's a simple word to encourage someone. It's making cookies for someone when you have them in your house. And you go, I want to make some extra ones. They're simple things, right? That's simple kindness. You can also go deeper with this. The Jews have this phrase, I love it. It's called a pillar of life. It's Hebrew. And they still do this today. It's called the Gemilat Hasadim. It's a fun word to say. It's not like you're saying something from science fiction. The Gemilat Hasadim. And it means the giving of hesed or the giving of kindness. And they said to be a Jew, you need to live this every single day. And these are deeper things. These are things you do for people that cannot give back. Go visit someone in the hospital. You loan money without interest. You do something for someone that's not in a position to ever help you in any single way. And that's the way we're supposed to live our life, they said, because of this word. It's going deeper. I will do something for you, even though you can't help me back. I love simple kindness. When I was a little kid, we had a guy named Mr. Nathan that painted our house. And I looked up to Mr. Nathan. I don't know why I did, but I wasn't in school. And so he would come paint our house for a season. And at lunchtime, he would go sit on the stoop and eat his lunch outside. So I would go sit out there and watch him and eat with him. Just wanted to be with him, right? And he had a fried egg sandwich. And I looked at that fried egg sandwich. I said, that looks awfully good, Mr. Nathan. He goes, oh, you're half of it. So he gave me half as his sandwich, and I ate that. And we're just sitting there on the porch eating that sandwich. Next day, he came back. I sat out there on that porch with him again. This time, he had two sandwiches, one for him and one for me, because he didn't want to give me half again. But he and his wife got up early in the morning. She made him two sandwiches. So this little kid who was sitting down there just wanted to be with someone, he said, here's a second one. That's a simple act of kindness, simple thing to do. But it's a type of hesed, the gemilat hasadim. I got a chance, as Brandon said, Jacob and Tom and Bob and I got a chance on Tuesday to go to Kentucky to see the devastation there. We took almost 70 cases of water, and we drove 10 hours to spend an hour and a half there and had a great trip there and great trip back, but gotten to see the devastation, and it's not a good thing. And it's all over Eastern Kentucky. It's not like you go to one place and it's all localized. It's all over because they live in the hills and they live in the hollers is what they call them, and the streams flow down and these streams overflow really quickly and they wipe everything out. And so when we got there, there was a group from a church somewhere in central Kentucky, halfway between Mayfield, Kentucky, where the tornadoes were, and halfway between that and Maytown, which is where we were. And they had already gone to Mayfield and already worked there and helped people recover, and now they were here in Maytown, and they were just helping people. They were just doing simple acts of kindness, and they helped us unload what we brought, and they were so grateful. Everyone there was so grateful for the water, because as Brandon said, even though you have lots of water, it's not fresh. And they're still kind of missing that. And we got to tour the area, got to walk around, and we went by one house. It was kind of cool. We went by one house, and the gentleman came out, and he recognized Jacob, because Jacob and Jill and Rodney had already been there earlier this year as our mission team that we sent out, and they had done some work for him. So he wanted to talk to Jacob. And his house is up off the ground, like they put basements under them now, so they're up off the ground. And he has three lines on his porch. Here's the flood of 2009, here's the flood of 2021, and the top one, here's the flood of 2022. And that's, up here. And it had come through. And he was so grateful because I think Rodney and some other people had gone and helped him. His basement's underneath. They had moved his stuff up into a room they helped build, so his washing machine, his dryer was up off the ground so it didn't get flooded this time. But all his tools, anything he kept in the basement, it's just messy. It's just messy, and this water comes up and it gets everything messy. So he just wanted to tell us, and he wanted us to know that all these acts of kindness, people just come and help him clean up, the people who came and built this room for him, the people who had been there over years, had changed his life. And it's like, can I write this down? Can I record this? It was like, he wanted us to know that he saw God in these, God in all of these things. And he had seen the acts of kindness, small things. Here's some water. Here's a chance just to listen to your story. I mean, he just wanted us to know, and he kept talking and talking, all of all these things. And it was so cool to think, okay, it took years of kindness, but they saw God. And it just takes a little bit of stuff here and there over years where you'll change the lives of people around you because of chesed and emet. The Bible says to put them around your neck and to write them in your heart. Then he said there's some things going to happen because of that. And if you continue on, let's go back to 3 and 4. Let's read those again. It says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then it says, why? So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Favor and good success. The New Living Translation translates it this way. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. People said, what kind of person were they? They were kind. It sounds so simple, right? But think about all the people in your life that you couldn't say that about. Do you know people that aren't kind, that aren't faithful? We do, don't we? But we get to choose what people say about us by the life that we live. And that's how you build a good reputation. It's in the little things over years. And this is what the Bible says. You want to live a well-lived life? Just exhibit chesed and be faithful about it. And it's that simple. Though it's not always simple. Because we have other things we want to do, right? There's other things in life we would rather do than help other people. And let's be honest. Has there ever been a time you go, I wish somebody would be kind to me? You ever lived in a household, and hopefully not now, where you're like, I do all the kindness stuff here and nobody else does. Or maybe you grew up in a family where it's like, I'm the only one that does kindness. I wish everybody else would. And if I do this for them, then they're going to give it back to me. That's understandable. But if you want to live a great life, then you need to be kind. I like the movie A League of Their Own. I don't know if you remember that. Tom Hanks is in it, in the original, and he's a coach teaching these ladies how to play baseball. They actually know how to play. They don't really need a coach, but he's there to help them. And there's a quote from that. I love this from the film League of Their Own. It said, it's supposed to be hard, right? If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great. And it's the truth about kindness, isn't it? It's not always easy to be kind, but it's what makes a great life. It really is what makes a great life. As many of you know, we've had a rough week here at Bridges the last week. We've done two funerals. We've done two funerals the last 2 days. And one of the things that I get to do as a pastor is probably my most privileged thing, the most honorable thing I get to do is share stories. I get to come up and tell people stories about the life they lived. And people go, it must be hard. And sometimes it is hard, especially if you know them really well. And both of these I knew. And it's hard because we grieve, but I also get to tell some great stories. And so it's a privilege to do that. And to think about some people, and especially the last two, I could tell some great stories, all centered around kindness. Simple things like a dad taking apart his son's car with him and putting it back together in the front yard. Just a simple time of spending together. That was remembered. That was remembered as an act of kindness, a brother who took care of his sisters instead of beating them up. Now, he did shoot them with BB guns from time to time, I hear, but most of the time he took care of them. And that's a great story I heard about a family who took the kids in their extended family, nephews and nieces, to church every Sunday so they could be there. And I heard about a couple who fostered over 100 children, including one girl who was going in the wrong direction, and she saw Christ there, and it changed her life for the rest of her life because of one couple's simple act of kindness to bring her into their home for a period of time when she was vulnerable and helped steer her in a different direction. And the stories of kindness just come out and go, that's a reputation. That's the story of a life. That they never thought about at the time, but because they did it, that's what people remember. That's a reputation. That is a good life well lived. Last week, we asked you to do 7 by 7 by 7 remembering verses. So here's your next challenge, okay? We want to challenge you. So here's your challenge this week. It's a little harder. 7 by 7 by 7. This time, we want you to do this. 7 acts of kindness a day for 7 people for 7 days, all right? There's the challenge. I'm not going to test you. You don't have to write them down. But here's the deal. You're going, I can't do that. Well, sure you could. This is how you do it. You can cover 7 people in one thing. Make cookies for tomorrow at work. Give them to 7 people, okay? Give them 8. Then you can go be above and beyond, okay? So let's try that. You can send out 7 emails tomorrow that says, have a good day. I'm praying for you. You can copy and paste it. They'll never know, right? Just copy and paste it. Change their names with something special in there, but you can do it. You can high-five someone. You can walk into somebody's office tomorrow and go, you know what? You're doing a good job, and I appreciate you. That's simple, right? Somebody in your house maybe does the dishes. I'm doing them tonight, you could say. Let me do this. You go sit down. Tonight, you get to have the remote to the TV. That's a big thing in some families, right? You can sit in my chair. How about that? Here you go. You come up with it. You come up with it. Start the day like this. God, how can I be kind to people today? How can I be kind and let him show you what it is? Live out chesed and live out emet in everything that you do. Why those two? We're going to wrap this up real quick. Why those two? Because that's what God's like. It says you will find success and favor with God and man. Why do these things that God's like? When God wanted to introduce himself to the Jewish people in Exodus chapter 34, he goes, I want you to know what I'm really like. People look at the Old Testament and go, what's God like? What's this? Who's this God that we're worshiping? Who's this God we're getting to know? And so he came and showed up. In Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7, it says this. It said he passed before him Moses, and he proclaimed the Lord, Yahweh. Yahweh the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. This is who God is. I don't know how you see God, but if you want to see God in his fullness, you understand that he's full of chesed for you, answers prayers. He's always there for you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to walk with you through the darkness. He's going to show up and speak through you when you need him. He's going to give you strength when you're tired. He's going to give you peace when you're anxious. He's going to care about you every single day. He's going to listen when you pray. Because that's his heart. Because it's written on his heart. And it's expressed in his life through love and kindness. Jesus touched people that no one else would touch. He would welcome people that no one else would welcome. He would be there for people. He would listen to them. He'd put up with their junk, right? Come, all right, guys, let's do this again. You didn't learn last time. He never gave up on them. That's who Jesus is. And so he calls us to be the same person that he is. So live our lives, right? You want to live a well-lived life. You want to do what God wants you to do. Take chesed, bind it around your neck. Do acts of kindness. And then do it with a net. Be faithful to the people who are your friends, your family. Show up for them. Be there. Write your own reputation and live a good life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your demonstration of these words. You came up with this. It's important to you, not something we came up with. I pray for the people that are here today that maybe are not experiencing loving kindness and faithfulness. They live in a world where they don't experience that. I pray today that you move someone in their life where they can experience because they need it, Father, with what they're dealing with. For us today that come as followers of Jesus, help us to live this out through Jesus' strength, the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do this on our own. We need you. And I pray for, Father, anyone today that's going, I want to experience this for myself through a relationship with Jesus. Maybe the days where they go, I want to get back. I've wandered. I've done my own thing. And I wasn't sure what you would do if I came back. And you're just saying, come with your arms open wide. And just say, come as you are. Come as you are. Don't hold back. So, Father, move us in the way that you want us to be moved. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. One of the greatest acts of chesed and emet is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That he came for us and he died for us and he gave his life for us. He rose again for us, even though we don't deserve it. in the Old Testament, there's the word hesed. That word doesn't translate into Greek. There's a different word in Greek. It's the word agape. It means unconditional. I mean, you don't have to do anything to earn it. And in 1 John chapter 4, 9 and 10, John, Jesus' best friend, wrote this. He said, God showed how much he loved us, agape love, unconditionally loved us by sending his one and only son into the world that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God first, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. That is hesed lived out, that is faithfulness lived out, that is agape love lived out. We experience in our life, and then we celebrate it through communion. The body of Jesus given for us, and the blood of Christ shed for us. I'm going to pray when you're ready, come up and experience the loving kindness of God and his faithfulness to you through this act. Father, it's a special time in our lives to remember you and your son, who not only spoke about it, he lived out this unconditional love in his life and set the example for us all. We only want to be like him. It's all we want, and to love you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. When you're ready, come on up and take communion.